Chapter 18. One evening I sat in my laboratory. The sun had set and the moon was rising over the sea. I began to think about what I was doing. 3 years ago, I thought, I was doing the same thing. I created a devil whose violence has ruined my life. I am now creating another. She might be even more evil than her mate. He has promised to leave Europe and hide himself in the forests of South America, but she has not promised. She might refuse. They might even hate each other. The monster hates the sight of his own face. Might he not hate the sight of his monstrous mate? She might turn from him in disgust. She might leave him. If they do leave Europe together, I thought, they will have children. They will create a race of devils that might destroy mankind. Have I the right, for my own comfort, to do something that would be a curse on future generations? Before, I had been moved by the monster's arguments and frightened by his threats. Now, for the first time, I realized how wicked my promise was. I thought with horror that perhaps future generations would curse me as the man whose selfishness had caused great suffering to the whole of mankind. I trembled. Then, looking up, I saw the monster at the window by the light of the moon. He was watching me. His face was horribly ugly. It was an evil face. Trembling with anger, I tore to pieces the half-finished creature. The monster saw me destroy his mate. With a howl of pain, he ran away. I left the room, promising myself that I would never return to that work. I went to my bedroom and spent hours by my window, looking out at the moon. There were a few fishing boats on the water. From time to time, the silence was broken by the voices of the fishermen calling to one another. Then, suddenly, I heard the sound of oars in the water. A boat was approaching the shore. A few minutes later, I heard my front door open. I trembled with fear and wanted to cry out for help, but I could not. Like someone who was dreaming a frightening dream, I could neither speak nor move. My bedroom door opened, and I saw the monster. He spoke to me in a trembling voice.
"You have destroyed the work you began. What does this mean? Will you break your promise? I have followed you over Europe to this cold, gloomy place. I have been tired and hungry. And now you destroy my hopes."
"Go away," I cried. "Yes, I break my promise. I will never create another as evil and monstrous as you are."
"Slave, I reasoned with you before, but you are unreasonable. Remember that I have the power to make you miserable. You are my creator, but I am your master. Obey!"
"Your threats cannot force me to do something evil," I said. "Go away! Your words only make me angrier." The monster said,
"Every man has a wife. Every animal has a mate. Will I be the only creature to live alone? I was capable of love, but everyone hated me. I will not let you be happy while I am miserable. I want revenge more than warmth or food. Before I die, you will be sorry that you were ever born. Remember this. I will be with you on your wedding night."
He ran away. A few moments later, I saw him in his boat, which shot across the water with the speed of an arrow. So, I thought, he will murder me on my wedding night. I thought of poor Elizabeth. How she would suffer if she lost me. As the sun rose, I went out and walked on the beach. I would have been happy to live forever on that miserable island, if only I could live in peace. When I left the island, It would be to meet my own death, or the deaths of those I loved, at the hands of a monster I myself had created. At midday I fell asleep on the grass. When I awoke, the sun was setting. What had happened the night before seemed like a bad dream. A fishing boat landed on the beach, and a man from the boat brought me two letters. One was from my father and the other from Clerval. Clerval wrote that he would soon return to London to complete the arrangements for his journey to India. He asked me to meet him at Perth as soon as possible. I decided to leave the island in 2 days. First, I had to pack my chemical instruments. The next morning, I entered my laboratory. The remains of the half-finished creature lay on the floor. I felt almost as if I had murdered a human being. With trembling hands, I collected my instruments. Then I gathered the remains of the creature and put them in a basket with some heavy stones. When the moon rose that night, I went out in a small boat. I felt like a criminal. I waited until a black cloud covered the moon for a few minutes. Then I dropped the basket into the sea. Relieved, I lay down in the boat and fell into a deep sleep. When I awoke, it was morning. There was a strong wind, and my little boat was in danger. The wind had blown the boat far away from the island, and I did not know where I was. All day the little boat tossed on the sea. I was horribly thirsty and frightened. I thought I was going to die. Then I imagined Elizabeth, my father, and Clerval, all left behind for the monster to murder. At sunset, I saw land in the distance. Tears of joy filled my eyes. As I approached the shore, I saw boats, a harbour, and a small town. I brought my boat into the harbour and stepped onto the shore. People gathered to watch, but they did not offer to help me. "My friends," I said, "could you please tell me the name of this town?" Nobody replied. The people looked angry and unfriendly. "What is the matter?" I asked. "The English are not usually so unfriendly to strangers."
"I do not know about the English," said one man. "But the Irish hate murderers."
What could this mean? Another man stepped forward and put his hand on my shoulder.
"Come, sir,"
he said.
"You must talk to Mr. Kerwin."
"Who is Mr. Kerwin? Why must I talk to him?"
"He is the magistrate, sir,"
said the man.
"He will want to ask you some questions about a gentleman who was found murdered here last night."
I was surprised, but not greatly worried. I was innocent and could prove it. I followed the man to Mr. Kerwin's house. I had no idea then of the horror that was waiting for me.